Welcome, welcome, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the program. This is Rob Zagari, the Rob Zagari Show, and it's not a repeat. We are not on vacation. We are not on hiatus. Oh, no. Oh, no. We are all new, brand new. It's a celebration of Martin Luther King Day. Yes, the Rob Zagari Show is live, and we are not a repeat. This is a celebration of Martin Luther King Day. We don't have anything really planned, but regardless, it's a celebration of Martin Luther King Day. All right. So, people are like, what the hell is going on? What did I just tune into? You know, I don't even know what you just tuned into. I woke up this morning and said, am I doing a program? Am I doing a show? Am I on today? Well, what's going on? And then I was told, yes, I'm on today. All right, a lot of things to get to. I'm sure the first thing that everybody's thinking about is, of course, them debates. The Democrats last night debated, and I wound up watching half of it live and the other half recorded, because like I said Friday, the majority of Americans were going to watch the playoffs. Majority of Americans were going to watch the playoffs. Now, yes, I know the debates were after the playoffs, but if you went out, say you went to a bar or a restaurant or a friend's playoff party, there's no way you were going to watch the debates at any of those places. And of course, a lot of individuals have today off. At least anybody in the federal sector. Banks, the majority of your big offices. So, suffice to say, not many people watched the debates. Probably the DVRs were set. If that, who knows? Who knows? But I wound up watching half of it live and half of it recorded. I sat there with my lovely and talented and super sexy girlfriend. And it was funny because she was screaming at the TV. It was as if we were watching a football game, because she was screaming at the TV, why won't they let Martin O'Malley speak? Why won't they let Martin O'Malley speak? That was her big takeaway, the fact that they would not let Martin O'Malley speak, which is kind of funny. Why have the guy there? If you're not going to let him be part of the conversation, why have him there? Seriously, why have him there? Remember, Martin O'Malley, that's the guy that has the campaign manager who was having her feet sucked on by Elliot Spitzer in a hot tub. Yes, that's Martin O'Malley. But that was her big thing. Why do they not let him speak? Why have him there? Now, I have a lot of I got a lot of complaints. I got a lot of complaints. I mean, we could go through policy, but let's just start with the overall vibe. You know, I did a few live tweets last night. I did. I actually did. I wasn't going to, but I did. I threw out some live tweets. And the first, I don't know if it was the first, but the striking thing to me when, and I think it was more last night than it was the other debates that took place. For some reason, last night, I was more in tune with the tone. We use it, that seems to be the buzzword of the political season this cycle, tone. And the tone, the whole vibe is very childlike. It's very adolescent. It's very PG, not PG-13. Not even a little edgy content. It's just PG, old school PG, like Beethoven PG or Turner and Hooch PG. Very, very sterile. Very joyous. Very adolescent. To me, that's the best way to describe the Democrats and their debate. Very adolescent. And it's very striking. When you watch their debates, and like I said, last night more than any of the other ones, it's like night and day. When you compare it to the Republicans, it really is. It's like watching a PG, maybe G. I could throw in a G. My girl said a G, like you're watching the Lion King with Simba. And an R-rated action, Die Hard, or some type of very manly, shoot 'em up, karate, buildings exploding type of film. You know, when you're sitting there looking for something to watch on television with your girlfriend, or maybe you're going to go to the movies. He's like, oh, what do you want to watch? And he's like, Turner and Hooch. I'm not in the mood to watch a kid movie. Let's see something with just action. Oh, okay, we'll watch Sharky's Machine. I know it's an old 80s reference. Let's watch, Heat. Let's watch The Accused with Jodie Foster. Just something with an edge. Something. Let's watch Dog Day Afternoon. Let's watch E.T. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. And that was one of the first tweets I sent out. And what's funny is as I did that, no more than, 10 minutes later, they do a question. I don't know if it was Lester Holt or Andrea Mitchell. I mean, Andrea Mitchell, you can't get more elitist, more state-run media than Andrea Mitchell. I mean, seriously. So either her or Holt about the environment, about global warming. And it goes to the question, which is illustrated with a cartoon. I kid you not. Those of you who watch a debate are shaking your head going, I know. So here I am thinking, man, this is like watching a G-rated television show. This is like watching something for kids. And then, poof, here comes a cartoon. I swear to God, it was like just a beat. Boom. This is for kids. A cartoon. What the F? A cartoon. It's amazing. People like to criticize the Republicans. Well, they like to criticize Donald Trump and say, wow, his language is very fourth and fifth grader. He uses very simplistic words. He uses words that appeal to less educated people. And then you watch these Democrats debate, and it's like watching a program that appeals to individuals who watch the Kardashians, individual who watch cat videos on YouTube. I mean, seriously. I mean, the debate itself was sponsored by YouTube. They took questions from individuals who were quote-unquote YouTube stars. YouTube stars. You talk about language on the Republican side and, the loser and stupid and their appeal to the least educated. How do you then justify taking questions from YouTube stars? I mean, just the terminology, YouTube stars, is just mind-blowing. At one point, besides the cartoon that they played, and again, a cartoon. Do you know how just bizarre that is? A cartoon. They had an individual. I'd never even heard of this person, but I guess in the YouTube Kardashian liberal world, this person is somebody. I actually went online because I had to look at who this person was. So at one point they take a question from a guy named Connor Frenta. And he's like, hi, this is Connor. Yes, and I have a YouTube channel. I'm not BSing. I swear I'm not. Hi, this is Connor Frenta, and I am a YouTube star, and I have over 4 million. Yes, I have over 4 million. And I'm like, I can't believe, again, what the hell I am watching. I'm like, what am I watching? Please, somebody help me. Somebody please help me. What am I watching? Please, Somebody help me. And when you Google this person and images come up, it looks like gay porn. I kid you not. It looks like gay porn. I'm sitting there saying the Democrats are taking questions from gay porn stars. What the hell? What am I watching? Seriously. I was just standing there what the hell is going on? Hi, it's Connor Frenta. How are you? Yes. Hi, yes, it's Connor Frenta. And my question is, Bernie Sanders. I said, I gotta go. I said, I gotta go. I gotta go. And this is just, and it didn't end there. Okay? Didn't end there. Went to another individual, a YouTube star, who reviews products. Like, you know, oh, I'm going to use this hammer. I'm gonna use this this radio. We're gonna talk about this. Again, it's bizarre. It's bizarre watching these Democrats talk about issues that, let's face it, seriously, when you have a Connor Frenta asking Bernie Sanders, I think it was, like I said, I think it was Bernie Sanders, or maybe it was Hillary Clinton. It was one of them. How they will engage millennials? That's the new buzzword for voters. You know, every couple of years you have new words. You get these new, I don't know, terms. Millennials. How are you gonna engage the millennials? Hi, it's Connor Frenta. How are you gonna engage the millennials? That's what I'd like to know. Thank you. I have over 4 million YouTube followers. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. We got people in this country. We got these savage animals. Okay, we have animals that are coming here from Syria, from Saudi Arabia, from Iraq. We have these animals that are plotting. Literally, plotting, and in some cases, carrying out attacks, slaughtering people. Just on Christmas, slaughtering people. That's what we have going on in this country, and the Democrats are sitting there taking questions from Connor Frenta, trying to give him a good answer of how to connect with millennials. It's amazing. It really is amazing. A G movie, an R-rated movie, a grown-up movie, a kids movie. Watching the Democrat debates, it's like watching people deal with children. And children with a very, very low attention span. Very low attention span. Like beyond low. Beyond low. And it's bizarre. It really is bizarre. It really is bizarre. Really is bizarre. Watching. I don't know, man. We are in such trouble. We really are. Listen, my fellow Republicans, we really are in trouble. I'm gonna be honest with you. I know we're supposed to stay positive and be positive, but we really are in trouble. You have state-run media, okay? You have your NBC, you have your ABC, you have your CBS, you have YouTube, you have Facebook, you have Twitter. The list goes on and on and on. You name it. Every which way you can get a message out as far as newspapers, magazines, the internet, whatever that company or whoever that company is, they are controlled by liberals. They are controlled by liberals. And the number one purpose of that company is to spread propaganda, spread a liberal message. We really are in trouble. I know my other talk show hosts, my other friends will keep an upbeat. I know our good friend Mark Levin, the Ted Cruz cheerleader, will keep this upbeat. But we're in trouble. I mean, we really are. We really are. This propaganda that the left spews, and especially when there is no way to push it back, you know, people will say, "Well, you got Fox." No, you have a small, teeny, tiny piece of Fox, and it's Fox News. But the rest of Fox is all liberal propaganda. The rest of Fox is all liberal propaganda. Tune into FX. Tune into Fox. Take a look at the TV shows that they have on. You're not talking about anything conservative. You're not talking about any grown-up subjects. You're not it's all liberal diarrhea. That's what it is. It's all liberal diarrhea. That's it. That's it. Liberal diarrhea. I mean, it's such liberal diarrhea that Fox, and I never talked about this God, it's going to get off the Democrats. It is. It's going to get off this for a minute, and some of you are going to I think, oh, wow, Rob, you're going all over the place. But it proves my point, and then I'll get back to the debates. But here's an example. Fox owns the show Glee. Okay? Huge, huge ratings juggernaut. It's not on anymore, but reruns and syndication, huge, huge. It is a liberal. It is a liberal propaganda tool, plain and simple. Plain and simple. The guy who creates Glee also creates other programs on Fox that are hugely popular. Hugely popular. American Horror Story. The new program that's coming out about O.J. Simpson. It's this gentleman named Ryan Murphy. So you have this person, Ryan Murphy, who's created all these programs on Fox. All the programs have this extreme liberal position, but extreme liberal position. I mean, they spew a left-wing ideology. One of the stars of this show, Mark Sailing, who played a character named Puck, gets arrested for child porn. He has thousands of images of child porn on his computer. And guess what? The story is basically buried. The program still is shown in syndication. It is still shown on every outlet that Fox and the Ryan Murphy crew can get this program onto, while other shows, rather it's the Seventh Heaven or the Cosbys or whatever other programs that have had people that have been in trouble, and those programs have been pulled, and of course people who had no knowledge or were not part of doing bad gets punished. But here's Glee, here's Fox, here's Ryan Murphy, and it's basically hush hush. Let's keep this quiet because we have an agenda. We have propaganda to spew. And ultimately, Fox is no different than ABC, NBC, and any of the other liberal outlets that spew their leftist ideology. There's a shining example. So we are doomed. We really are. We are doomed. Plain and simple. There's no way around What's going to happen? We are doomed. We are doomed. There's no way to beat back this garbage that we get hit with on a daily basis. Doomed. Now, let's get back to the debates. I know you're all going, oh, Jesus. Oh, we are just doomed. We are doomed. We have Connor Frenta. We have Connor Frenta. And these other whack jobs on the debates. So, your Connor Frentas, you got your cartoons, you got your kid who reviews products like hammers and iPods and whatever else. And there's your childlike aspect to the debates. Now, let's get into some of the substance. Now that you have a overall vibe that we're watching Disney, you know, we're watching Nickelodeon. I was waiting for the slime bucket to hit Martin O'Malley. I was waiting for him to mess up and say that magic word that I don't know, and all of a sudden the green slime drops on his head all over him. And everybody laughs, oh, you got slimed. That's what I was expecting. And then the other, before we jump into substance, I know I'm swerving back out. Here's the other thing. Okay, it's a two-hour debate. It's a two-hour debate. No different than the Republicans' two-hour debate. But sometimes the Republicans have three-hour debate. The last debate, I think, was 2 hours and 35 minutes. It went longer. Everyone acknowledged it went longer. And they take a break or two. It's rigidly timed. They go, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Cut. Within 2 minutes, they are back. Everybody's at their podium. The camera swings over to Neil Cavuto, Maria Martabaliato, whatever her name is. And then the camera pivots and she goes from her question to Ted Cruz or Donald Trump. Last night, they go to a commercial break. They come out of the commercial break. It's obvious that everybody's not ready. So they then shoot over to Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd after they go from Lester Holt to Andrea Mitchell. And they say a couple words. Sleepy Eye Chuck Todd says a couple words. And then they go back to a commercial. So they go to a commercial, which is 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. Out of that commercial to Andrea Mitchell, who then gets told in her earpiece, Hillary Clinton's not out of the bathroom doing a duty yet, or whatever the hell she does. To Chuck Todd, who goes, oh, I don't have anything to say. What? And then back to a commercial. Even the commercial breaks. There's three candidates. Three candidates. The Republicans got 8, 9, 10 of them. It's like commercial, 2 minutes. That's as long as you got. These guys either hold their pee-pee. They hold it. They hold their pee-pee in their doo-doo. Or they run, hit the stall, and they're zipping up their flies and their junk while they're running down the hall. The Democrats, It's like the whole kid television, the whole Nickelodeon, the whole Disney vibe. It's like this, hi, yeah, here's what we're going to do. Sure, I'll take a question from Connor Frenta. Hi, Connor. Hi, how are you? Hi. Oh, let's watch some cartoons. Hi. It's bizarre. Oh, we're gonna go to a commercial break. Let's go to the bathroom. Hey, I'm not done yet. Okay, no problem. We'll just go to another commercial. All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two. Look at that. I actually could say. I could actually say hour number two. Can actually say hour number two. And we should be back. You should be able to hear me. We should be all set to go. I have no idea why we have these issues. I don't know. I don't know why we have these issues. It's very, very, very upsetting. It's very disappointing. But yes, I guess that's why, you know, I got to say, I guess that's why. Oh, my ears kill me when I have these stupid headphones. I guess that's why. The majority of, I guess you could call them podcasters, don't do a live feed. I guess that's why they just broadcast or do their podcast and then put it out to everybody for download. And they don't worry about live feeds and things of that nature. Seriously, I think that's why they do it. I think that's why they do it. I think that's why they do it. It's 10 times easier. You don't have the issues that I'm always having as far as quality or as far as being disconnected. Smooth sailing. I'm telling you, I think that's why the podcasters don't do a live feed. That's what I think. But there's just something about not being live. There's just something about it that I still really enjoy and I don't want to get away from. There's just something about it I don't want to get away from. So we're going to try to fix this where we don't have these problems. That's going to be my mission. All right, good. Anyways, let's get back to the debates now that we're in hour number two. And we're all set to go. Everything's gelling. Those of you who are watching us on the video feed, I apologize for the break in the momentum. I guess we could call it that, the break in the momentum. But we'll try to pick it right back up. So, bye. Where did I leave off? Ah, bathroom break. Okay. Even the bathroom breaks, if you really think about it, even the bathroom breaks are very childlike. You have a bunch of dudes, okay? You got a bunch of dudes who can hold their pee-pee and poo-poo. Seriously, you got a bunch of dudes that can hold their pee-pee and poo-poo. The time is very rigid. The breaks are very, very rigid. There is no extra commercial. There is no start and stop and start again. And the Democrats, it's obvious that they need more time for breaks. Obvious. It's also obvious that they all have pages and pages of notes. Pages. So even on a juvenile level, when you're talking about bathroom breaks and just breaks in general, the Democrats are like that kid in sixth grade that has to go pee-pee every 10 minutes. And the teacher's like, Marvin, you just went 10 minutes ago. I know, but I got to go again. I know, I got to go again. If I don't go, I'm going to pee-pee my band. Okay. Well, we were going to start the... Okay, well, wait for you. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. So now we'll go to the substance. Now that we're done with the vibe, okay? So no one, and I mean no one, talks about Syrian refugees. No one talks about domestic terror. When the candidates were asked about lone wolf terrorists, like the ones in Chattanooga, Tennessee, like the ones in San Bernardino, like the one in Philadelphia, all three of them gave an answer that was so disconnected from reality. Seriously. So Bernie Sanders is first up on the question of lone wolf. And he danced around. Just danced around. Because remember, Bernie Sanders' entire campaign, his entire mantra is Wall Street.
Wall Street. Wall Street. Big banks. Super PACs. Wall Street.
Somehow, Wall Street and super PACs are causing everything bad in this country. Wall Street, but the flip on that is, under Obama, for these past 7 years, everything's been good. That's the interesting tap dance that the Democrats have to do. That's the tap dance that they have to do. So they have to talk about how they would make things better, how they would do things differently, how their ideas would bring more success to this country. But in that same dance, they have to tell everybody how the country has been doing awesome for 7 years under Obama. So you have to listen to Bernie Sanders dance and him rattle off Wall Street, big banks, Wall Street, big banks, super PACs, all these things that are wrong with the country, but the country's been doing awesome for 7 years. So you just kind of sit there and go, what? So if the country for 7 years has had 70-some-odd months of job growth and job creation and the lowest unemployment. I mean, we could go down all the talking points that Democrats use. We can go all those talking points. But then somehow we're in trouble, or somehow we aren't doing good because super PACs, Wall Street, and big banks. It's a wild toe-tapping. I marvel at it. I really do. I marvel at it. So Sanders is asked, lone wolf, what do we do? And he says, we have to go to Silicon Valley. We have to go to Silicon Valley and work with them stopping the propaganda that ISIS uses to get at individuals, whether it's in New York, whether it's in Florida, whether it's in California, whether it's in Germany. That's the way you stop lone wolf terrorists. Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. That was my reaction. I was, what? What did he just say? And then, of course, it shifted to Hillary, and she echoed the same thing. And then Andrea Mitchell jumped in and said, Department of Homeland Security tried to do that. They went to Silicon Valley to discuss how to basically prevent terrorists from communicating with other terrorists or other groups via Facebook and Twitter. And they were rejected. Silicon Valley said, well, we're not going to do some of these things that you want us to do because we're talking about privacy and we're talking. And Hillary Clinton goes, no, they didn't. And that's it. That's it. So Andrea Mitchell tells Hillary Clinton that Silicon Valley told the government to go F themselves. Hillary Clinton goes, no, they didn't. Just like a little 12-year-old. And Andrea Mitchell went, okay. And then it shifted to Martin O'Malley, who then went on a tirade against Donald Trump and registries. And if Donald Trump wants to create a registry for Muslims, then he could start with Martin O'Malley. And we're never going to stop lone wolf terrorists. We're never going to stop these individuals unless we are welcoming and work with the Muslim community and stop demonizing them.
And then they went on to another.
How does anybody feel safe? How does anybody feel safe in this country with a Martin O'Malley administration or a Hillary Clinton administration or even worse, a Bernie Sanders administration when the question of terrorism and San Bernardino and Fort Hood and Chattanooga and Philadelphia, if their response is no response, if their response is, well, if we're just nice to Muslims, we won't have this problem. If we're just nice, that's all. If we're just nice, and we work with YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. I mean, that's the response. Nothing about surveillance. Nothing about the visa waiver program. Nothing about fiancé visas. I mean, I was shocked. Well, I wasn't shocked. It's the state-run media. It's the liberals. It's an agenda. But I was shocked. Seriously. Just no mentioning of how to deal with terrorism as it pertains to situations like San Bernardino, Philadelphia. We just got to be nice. Like, how would being nice, to Muslims, which I don't even know what that means. Seriously, I don't even know what that means. Because think about it. Donald Trump has only been running for president, give or take 7 or 8 months. His whole Muslim ban only started about 3 or 4 months ago. Well, Fort Hood happened long before Donald Trump and the Muslim ban. Tennessee happened long before Donald Trump and the Muslim ban. Charlie Hebdo happened long before the Donald Trump Muslim ban. San Bernardino, as far as planning, as far as preparing to slaughter as many people as they could, happened long before Donald Trump and the Muslim ban. The Paris attack happened and planned long before Donald Trump and the Muslim ban. So before Donald Trump talked about this temporary ban on Muslims, Muslims, Islam, were slaughtering Americans by the thousands. So this notion that Donald Trump and the temporary ban on Muslims have been going on for years and years and years and years is ludicrous. put it all in a perspective of time, ladies and gentlemen. Put it all in a perspective of time. Okay? Think about it. The whole be nice to Muslims, and we have to be welcoming, and we have to work with our Muslim neighbors. That whole push really only started after Donald Trump came out and said, hey, man, we need to have like a ban. We need to have like a temporary ban. This whole push by liberal media of hate crimes, which another farce. There's more Jews in this country that are attacked and beaten up, killed, based on their religion than there are Muslims who are beaten up, attacked. That's a fact. That is a fact. Look it up. This farce that the left, this farce that the left want to push, that somehow there's all this hate crime going on in the United States against Muslims, is a farce. Far more Jews are attacked because they're Jews than there are Muslims. So the question was not answered. And I'm sure all the leftists sitting at home were clapping, going, yeah. Yeah, we just have to be nice to these people. We just have to be nice, and then they'll not attack us. Because all these attacks happen because of that Donald Trump, yes. Low information voters. Low information voters. Democrats actually try to accuse Republicans of having low information voters, and their language appeals to low information voters. Please, showing constituents cartoons and YouTube bloggers is appealing to low information voters. Tell people that all the terrorist attacks in this country have occurred after Donald Trump has said, oh, we should have a temporary ban on Muslims, is a low information voter tactic. So none of these people, O'Malley, Clinton, Sanders, talked about how to stop lone wolf attacks. No one talked about Syrian refugees. No one talked about immigration. No one. Not one of these people talked about immigration. You know, Bernie Sanders is constantly talking about the worker, higher wages. But somehow, immigration and how to reform the system never seems to come up. And the two go hand in hand. You're never going to be able to raise wages. You're never going to be able to force corporations to pay people more and higher wages unless you stop illegal immigration. As long as a company can hire somebody and pay them less than what he would have to pay an American worker, you're never going to get higher wages. But the Democrats want it all. And it's all about votes. It's all about votes. Democrats want it all. They want to look out for the working man. They want higher wages. But they want open borders. As long as you have open borders, you're never going to have higher wages. Because corporations, when push comes to shove, and nobody is policing them as far as hiring illegals, they're always, 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 no matter how many American flags they have posted up on top of their buildings, they're always going to hire cheap labor. Always. Always. I don't care if that owner, that manager, is an open carry, gun-toting, flag-waving, pro-life Republican. He will always, always hire cheap labor. And it doesn't matter if they're illegals, because ultimately, money trumps any position as far as pro-life, open carry. Open borders, gay marriage. To the businessman, it's about money. Plain and simple. As much as I despise the Democrats, there's a good chunk of Republicans that have dragged their feet and have done nothing about illegal immigration because they are in bed with big business. And that big business wants cheap labor. So that big business will give tens of thousands of dollars to different Republicans to make sure they can continue, that they could continue to hire cheap labor. And the Democrats didn't talk about immigration at all. They didn't talk about refugees. They didn't talk about visa waiver programs. They didn't really talk about terrorism. It was all about cartoons and YouTube stars. That's it. That was it. That was it. And just to show you, think about this. Just to show you how hypocritical
the Democrats are.
And it really got my blood boiling. All three of them talked about what's going on in Detroit. And the fact that the governor, who of course happens to be Republican, tried to save money because it's a cesspool. I mean, think about Detroit, Michigan. I mean, come on. I mean, think about it. It's, I mean, it's a dump. It's a dump. So to somehow save money, they basically recycled water, which everyone does, but their process wasn't too good. Their process to recycle their water and put it through a system so that it would be clean and free of chemicals for people to drink and bathe in and so forth and so on, didn't work. And so people have been drinking water full of lead. Yeah. People have been drinking water that's been full of lead. So each of these Democrats, O'Malley, Sanders, Hillary, did a little speech on the governor and how it's shameful for what he did to the people of Detroit, and he should be forced to resign. Mark Malley even said, hey, if white kids in a wealthy area of Detroit were affected, this situation would have been fixed months ago. Matter of fact, lead filled water would never have reached these white kids in the wealthy area of Detroit. Now, I never knew there was a wealthy area of Detroit. That's number one. Number two, it's amazing to watch them be outraged. Excuse me. It's amazing to watch them be outraged over this situation and call for the resignation of this governor. But yet, Rahm Emanuel, yes, the great Rahm Emanuel in Chicago, can basically cover up the killing of an unarmed black teenager. He could cover it up for something like 14 months till after he's reelected. He can go to Cuba on vacation while other unarmed black folk get killed. And not one of these candidates, not one of these candidates had said, hey, I think Rahm should resign. Even though there's protests every day in Chicago. Every day, people are screaming for Rahm Emanuel's resignation. And yet, these Democrats, Clinton, Sanders, O'Malley, don't speak a single word about Rahm Emanuel. But yet O'Malley is talking about white kids not having to drink lead water, but because black kids were drinking lead water, Republicans were cool with that. And yet Rahm Emanuel has a city that is in the black folk getting killed, and that's just it's Rahm. And the wild thing about that, is Rahm and the situation in Chicago is something that they should have touched on, considering that Sanders and Clinton know Rahm and have worked with him extensively. Remember, he worked in the Clinton White House, and he was Obama's chief of staff. One of his advisors, I should say. So Hillary worked with him when she was Secretary of State. And of course, Sanders worked with him, considering that Sanders is a senator. So when Rahm wanted to get votes, when Rahm needed support, he had to have gone to Sanders at some point, had a sit down, said, "Bernie, we really need you for this. You're the independent." So the hypocrisy of the Democrats was on just full display. Full display. And it really just set me off when I was watching them go crazy about Detroit and the lead water. And then there was another hypocritical moment as it pertains to Hillary, but what else is new? She's asked about Bill Clinton's role in her administration. Would it start at the kitchen table? Would they have conversations about the economy at the kitchen table? And everybody laughed. Ha 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 ha. And Hillary Clinton said, well, it would start at the kitchen table, and then we'll see from there where it will go. But, of course, he will be asked about things like the economy, considering he knows a thing or two about creating jobs. This exchange went on for a minute or two, and I thought to myself once again, wow. So here you have Lester Holt asking Hillary Clinton about Bill Clinton and his role in her administration, about him being back in the White House, him being intricately intertwined on policy. And yet, Democrats lose their minds when you bring up all of Bill Clinton's past, all the way back from the 70s to as recently as Epstein and flying around in private jets on a billionaire's island, hanging out with sex slaves. Imagine that. Democrats call foul and say none of that has anything to do with Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is the one that's running for president, not Bill Clinton. So Bill Clinton's past and present should have nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. But yet, Lester Holt and Hillary Clinton are talking about Bill Clinton's role in the White House should she be president. It's kind of a weird hypocrisy, if you want to call it that, right? Isn't that, or is it just me? Is it the stupid little Republican that's podcasting and video feeding? Is it? So when you talk to the Democrats and you watch state-run media, whether it's your Lester Holtz or your Andrea Mitchells or your George Stephanopoulos's or your Daily Beasts, your BuzzFeeds, Huffington Posts, regardless, it's hypocritical to discuss Bill Clinton's past and present because it has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton being president. But yet, Hillary Clinton is telling Lester Holt that Bill Clinton will be part of the administration. He will be at the kitchen table discussing economic issues. If that's the case, I would say that Bill Clinton's past and present fair game. Hell, it's more than fair game. It's 100%. 100%. Fair game. I mean, remember, before the whole Bill Clinton and his sex life and his sexual assaults on women was always something that was swept under the rug because, hey, he's out of the White House. It's over. Some Democrats would say they raped him over the coals. He lost his law license. He was disgraced. He'll always have an asterisk next to his presidency. You can only beat up the guy so much for what he did in the past. That was always the concept with not continuing investigations and basically shelving all these women who had issues with Bill Clinton that never were resolved. It was always, come on, let the president ride off into the sunset. That's what you do. Nobody has badgered George Bush about Iraq and so forth and so on. It's just, you know, proper ex-presidential tactics as far as dealing with former presidents. I mean, that's, well, now Bill Clinton could possibly be back in the White House. I would think old protocol is off the table. I would think the concept of Bill Clinton being able to ride off into the sunset is thrown out the window when Hillary Clinton is telling Lester Holt that he will be at the kitchen table discussing economic policies. The hypocrisy of Democrats. So then, Andrea Mitchell, and it's funny because they planned this right before the break. So there's no back and forth. There's no follow-up. And it's not just with this question. There really wasn't follow-up back and forth between the candidates or the moderators for that matter. You had a little, but at times it was tough just because Bernie Sanders interrupted everybody. I mean, he makes Carly Fiorina and Jeb Bush look like amateurs, really. The minute you say something about Bernie Sanders or something that he disagrees with, he interrupts you. He doesn't even let you finish your thought. He doesn't sit there and go, okay, I disagree with that, and as soon as they're done talking, I will then say, I strongly disagree, and here's why. They just talk, and he just goes, and then it's horrible. It really is horrible. It's horrible. 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 At one point, he gave Hillary Clinton this look. I thought he was going to punch her in the face. She was talking about Bernie Sanders not supporting Obama back in 2012. And he gives her this look. He just turns his head to her, gives her this horrible, creepy, creepy look. But right before the break, Andrea Mitchell goes, Bernie Sanders, you have said that Bill Clinton's past behavior was deplorable. What do you want to say? And he just like stops her. He's like, that's just a horrible question. And she goes, well, you answered it. And he goes, well, I was asked the question. She goes, well, you didn't have to answer. He goes, and if I didn't answer, it would have been a headline. Rather, I didn't answer it, it would be a headline. If I answered it, it would be a headline. But look, that's what they want us to do. The media wants me and Hillary Clinton to fight. They want me to attack her. Yes, I think what Bill Clinton did was deplorable. I think it was horrible. Yes. But we're not going to get into these personal
politics and attacks. Okay?
And Hillary's just shaking her head. And then Andrea Mitchell and Lester Holt go, all right, we're going to go to commercial break. That's it. And they go to break. They go to break. Again, it was just amazing. It was just amazing. Totally amazing.
Come back from the break. Like I said, very little was discussed about terrorism, immigration, even ISIS. And the funny thing about the whole ISIS argument, you hear this from the Democrats. We have to get our coalition. We have to have other countries. We have to arm the Kurds. We have all these things that they say has to get done, has already been trying to get done. This coalition has been going on for, I don't know, year, 2 years. There is no coalition. Training fighters, we've gotten about four. Hillary and Bernie and O'Malley act as if this process has just started in the past, I don't know, month? It's been going on. Been going on. And it hasn't worked. It's been going on for well over a year. And it has not worked. Has not worked. So their plan to fight ISIS is the exact same plan that Obama has that hasn't worked. And that whole exchange lasted for what? 7 minutes, 8 minutes. Bernie talked, Hillary talked, O'Malley talked. End of ISIS. End of what needs to be done. They asked him about Iran. They all applauded it. Yay. Yay. And we're going to talk about Iran in the next segment. But they all applauded Iran. Yay! We got hostages back. We gave them billions of dollars. Again, the moderators painted this picture of our dealings with Iran as something that is so happy, and it's like a Pharrell video on YouTube. That was the vibe. No talk of our soldiers being taken hostage. Guns pointed at their heads. The propaganda video that they made. None of this, just none of that. They weren't asked any of that. None of that. It was, what do you think about Iran? Oh, I think it's great.
I don't necessarily think we should build or open an embassy there yet, but everything we're doing with them is awesome. Yeah, they fund terrorism, and that's got to stop, but hey, this is a good step. What's a good step? That they said they're not going to build nuclear weapons? That's it? They gave us back four hostages. They gave us back five Americans that they've had for years. And we had to give them something like 7 or 8 of their people that straight up were breaking the law. They took 5 of our Americans who weren't doing anything. Hell, one of them's a reporter for the Washington Post. Wasn't a military guy. There was no war. He's a reporter. So the same group of people that everybody gets outraged because Donald Trump throws one out of his press conference. A reporter. So they didn't do anything out of the goodness of their heart. They had 5 innocent Americans as hostages. You know? Amazing. It's amazing. Amazing. So Bernie, Hillary, O'Malley. They're like, yeah, Iran's awesome. Iran wants to kill all of us, death to America. They want to blow up Israel. They're funding, oh God, Hezbollah. Yeah, I mean, you name the different terrorist groups. Name the different terrorist groups. They're funding them. They are creating complete havoc in the Middle East. And Bernie and Hillary are like, hey, you know what? It's all good. They don't have a nuclear weapon. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Everything's good. Okay. Great. All right. So it's all good. Silly us. Like I said, guys, it's like watching a G-rated movie versus an R-rated movie. It's like watching a movie for children and watching a movie for grown-ups. It's like sitting at a little kid's table and using plastic silverware and sitting at the dining room table using the good china. That's the difference with the Democrats and the Republicans. That's the difference. And watching them say all these things that we have to do to make America better. But for the last 7 years, the country's awesome. Obama has done all these awesome things. But we have to do these things because they'll be more awesome than the things Obama has done. I mean, they mildly, and I say mildly, pushed Bernie Sanders on how he intends to pay for all of his programs. Mildly. Andrea Mitchell mildly pushed him. And when I say mildly, that means she followed up once. But O'Malley never questioned him. Hillary Clinton never questioned him. And the follow-up by Andrea Mitchell was so weak. Well, it was childlike. All the follow-up questions were childlike. It was pathetically weak. Pathetically weak. And no one will talk about it because the entire, and I've said this like a broken record, the media is all state run. So nobody's going to question Andrea Mitchell. Nobody's going to talk about how soft this debate was. But Bernie Sanders was never pushed, and I mean really pushed, on how to pay for everything that he's proposing. And the fact that people support Bernie Sanders is beyond me, because the things that he's proposing are never ever going to happen. When people say, oh, Donald Trump, he's never going to be able to build a wall. Listen, you got a better shot of Donald Trump building a wall and deporting people that are here illegally than Bernie Sanders ripping up Obamacare and creating a law that gives health care to everyone in the United States for free. Imagine Obamacare barely got passed, and the Democrats controlled the House and the Senate by huge margins. And even then, the only way they got it passed was with procedure motions, reconciliation. They still had to finagle to get Obamacare passed. And yet Bernie Sanders thinks he's going to do away with Obamacare, put in place a new policy that gives everybody free health care, and somehow a Republican-controlled House and Senate is going to pass that. It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. And people support Bernie Sanders and go, yeah, yeah, Donald Trump, boo. Donald Trump says, listen, we're going to lower the tax rates across the board for everybody. Boo. It'll never get in. Boo. Bernie Sanders says, I'm going to raise the taxes to the highest it's ever been in 50 years. People go, yeah. It's like all these things you need Congress to do. I mean, Donald Trump's ideas will never get passed, but Bernie Sanders' will. Oh, my God. Again, it's a G-rated movie full of information for the lowest, for the lowest of low information voter, like YouTube watchers and My Name Is Caitlin watchers and Real Housewives of Atlanta watchers and cat videos on YouTube watchers. These are the people. These are the individuals. YouTube stars, Bernie Sanders. Just insane. It's insane. It really is. It's insane. And that was the debates. In a nutshell, that was the Democratic debates.